In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
There are few guarantees in life, but one of them is that the government, any government, will always protect itself first and its citizens second, maybe third or even fourth. That's why the default position of any patriot is to love their country but distrust their government. Think about it. COVID was and is, according to doctors, not paid to be propagandists, the most treatable respiratory disease in the history of mankind if you treat it early. But instead, the government refused to acknowledge and even warned against early treatments or alternative treatments like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. Instead, if you got sick, they sent you home with advice that boiled down to, don't do anything, let's see if it gets worse. And when it did, they stuck you in a hospital, jammed a respirator down your throat, abandoned you, wouldn't let your family in to see you, can't have any pesky witnesses around, and whether you lived or died, they got a bonus from the government. If they claimed you had COVID, they got extra money, more so if you died. That's called an incentive. There was no bonus to doctors and hospitals if you treated yourself early with HCQ or ivermectin or simple vitamins C, D, and zinc. And then came the vaccines. Let's think about that. If it was a real health emergency that couldn't be treated any other way, and they really wanted people to get the vaccines to be safe because they cared about you more than they cared about themselves and cared about you more than the money and power to be had, then they would guarantee you against any and all adverse effects. What did they do instead? They guaranteed the drug companies that they couldn't be sued or held liable and that the government couldn't be sued. You got nothing. That's your government. Let's do what we want, and only if things get bad will we do something. And even better, for us, if things do get worse, because then there needs to be even more government control. We see it in their forest policies. Sure, there's a fire burning, but let's wait and see if it gets... Whoops! Did 1 million acres just burn? Oh, that's too bad. We told you it was global warming, so now we need more control over the forest. No one can cut down anything. During COVID, the government misspent at least $3.5 trillion, hundreds of billions of which just disappeared. And they admit that they will likely never get those hundreds of billions back. Millions of businesses impacted, many out of business for good. Millions of lives impacted and lost. We saw and continue to see our rights trampled. And now untold numbers of people who were forced to get the jab or lose a job are being impacted by adverse effects. And tens and hundreds of thousands of kids impacted as now they are unnecessarily pushing the vaccine on kids, even infants, and some horrifying news coming up on that. People need to be held accountable for all of this. Today, we will look at one avenue to do just that. I'd like to welcome State Senator Dennis Linthicum, who represents District 28 in the Klamath Falls area. He, along with Senator Kim Thatcher and Dr. Henry Ely, are trying to impanel a grand jury to look into the COVID data fraud. Dennis, it's great to talk to you again.
You bet. Thanks for having us on this morning. This is an important topic, so I'm glad you've brought it before your listening audience.
Well, it's extremely important, and because essentially the government could be held liable on things, the government doesn't want to talk about it or even deal with it or even really acknowledge it. I know that you guys have had quite the uphill struggle trying to get this this grand jury impaneled, but let's back up. Remind our audience, how did this lawsuit come about and why did you file it?
It's actually, at a technical level, it's not a lawsuit. It's a petition. It's a request. It's a desire for a grand jury to investigate and look into it. We are making accusations or allegations, so to speak. But we are saying there's so much, this is so deep, this is such a pool of misconduct, willful misconduct, I might add, that we need some people to get involved and look at this. And so the attorneys for in Oregon here, we have a federal district for the attorney for the United States of America has a 4 million person district here in the state of Oregon. And that's what we're pursuing, a federal grand jury investigation into actions that were done by the CDC and violations that that have happened that have impacted everybody in the U.S. Senator Kim Thatcher and I are the two individuals who are on the headline of this, as well as a researcher, kind of a data guy, as well as a runs a Institute for Health and Wellness, Dr. Henry Ely. And we, so Kim and I got off the starting block by reading a paper that was a peer-reviewed paper about comorbidities and the COVID deaths that were happening in the early 2020s. And what we realized is comorbidities were the big problem, not quote-unquote COVID. It turns out COVID, even though everybody is scared to death of COVID, COVID deaths aren't astronomical. What we did was we eliminated the common flu. There's no solution to the common cold, and the current vaccine, in my opinion, isn't a solution to the common cold either. Flu season happens. And COVID happened, but they gave it this novel, it's a novel coronavirus, like, oh, we've never seen this one before. And whether you chase the dog that says it was created in Wuhan, China, or it's a naturally occurring, whatever, none of that really matters. What we're talking about is the complete disregard for following federal law. We have the Information Quality Act is the one that I jump on all the time. The federal government does not have the ability to make up data and to confuse people and to mislead people. Their requirement is to ensure, that's the text within the legal definition, they have to ensure that the data that they disseminate to the American public is valid, is accurate, is provable, and has been weighed, quote unquote, with the cost and the benefit. In other words, what will this, if we follow this policy, where will it go? Mm-hmm. They didn't follow the IQA and they violated federal law. And we're looking we want somebody to investigate. Did they do this on purpose? And if so, how will we hold them accountable?
Right. So initially, you guys had just tried to inform and reach out to every U.S. attorney and members of the Department of Justice. None of them would touch this. So do you think they didn't want to touch it? Because if what you said was true, and it is, it really did mean the biggest crime in human history. I mean, that is pretty daunting for somebody to say, yeah, I think I'll wade in on that. Why do you think they wouldn't touch it?
Well, I think that's exactly why. We went to 94 U.S. attorneys within the United States that are at the federal level. So at that point, all of them refused. And it's a straightforward and simple request. Hey, you guys ought to look into this. You've got a grand jury impaneled in your district, in your state. There are multiple in California. I think there's five or six in California. There's only one here in Oregon. None of those individuals were willing to investigate. And it's a money game. You have to realize the reason you're county commissioners and your municipalities and your universities and your school systems and your local public health authority, the LPHA is a state-run office that's in your county government. All of these organizations are, quote, doing what they're told. And you have to ask, well, why are they just doing what they're told without thinking deeply about it? And it's because they're not paid to think. They're paid to control the population through the regulations that come from above. So when the CDC makes a rule, very few people are willing to say, wait, I'm not sure about that rule.
Right.
They just say, yes, sir,
sure.
and follow along.
Well, and of course, Congress should be the one that has oversight on that, and they totally abandoned that responsibility. All right, let's take a break. Senator Dennis Lithcomb is trying to hold the government accountable for their COVID lies and data manipulation. We'll continue that discussion after this.
We'll be right back. get a little more intelligence on big government.
And welcome back. We're talking today to State Senator Dennis Lidcombe, who represents District 28. That's down in the Klamath Falls area. He, along with Senator Kim Thatcher and Dr. Henry Ely, are trying to hold the government accountable for their COVID data lies. And so as you're putting this grand jury together, if you controlled the whole process, what would the outcome look like? In other words, who would be held accountable and what would that look like?
Well, we actually subpoenaed five individuals. Actually, people, if they want to read the whole kit and caboodle, it's online. They can go to beyondthecon.com, and they can download our petition for a grand jury where we make allegations. We didn't go after Fauci specifically. We went after the different directors that were part of the CDC, Department of Health and Human Services, like Rochelle Walensky, Bill Moyer, Xavier Becerra, and Robert Redfield. So we've got those people in there. We served them, and they get a 60-day opportunity to respond. And after the 60 days, they asked the court for an extension, and they got a second 60-day extension. And so we've been sitting around for the past 5 months waiting for them to respond. And so they requested, we're going to respond by, they told us when they'd respond by, we'll respond by August 26, just last week. And so we waited for August 26. It never happened. And we said, well, hey, they didn't respond. Great. Let's ask for a default judgment. And so we petitioned the court to default against all five of these individuals. And then they woke up and got out of bed and said, wait a minute, we didn't respond. And their because clause is fascinating. They didn't respond because their dog was sick, and they had to take the dog in for emergency medical care. So this is the same kind of thing a third grader would try and accuse, you know, the pooch of eating his homework. Right. And here is the federal government at this point with this much on the line. They have been jeopardizing, these powerful individuals have been jeopardizing the livelihoods and health and optimal outcomes for the public at large under the color of law, and they have been racking in money left over right, and it's about time we hold them accountable. This includes jail time. This includes willful violation, criminal misconduct, and we're interested in having a grand jury dig through all the information. Disclosure will be fantastic once we see it.
Well, we have gotten so many issues going on here. It's not just that the fact that they lied over the data, and that's pretty clear that they did. I mean, we know that they lied about the PCR test. Those were overcycled to create many more false positives. They lied about they went back and changed death certificates to make it look like the death counts were inflated. All of this to create fear and hysteria in order to get these vaccines passed, among other actions that they took. But you know, I guess as I look at this, what gets me is that this lawsuit was even necessary, because I seem to recall that we used to have government watchdogs inside the government for this sort of thing. We certainly had it outside of government, but nowadays it seems like we have more organizations propping up government than holding it accountable. Is no one that has any authority watching the government anymore, or do agencies simply get to do whatever they want and any internal controls are simply rubber stamping things?
Yeah, what a great question. And this is the crux of the whole matter. And it's your salary, it's your benefits, it's your job, your position. Look at, if you go along, if you say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that, you get paid. You get your paycheck, you get your retirement, all taxpayer funded. Even after you retire, you continue to get that paycheck here in Oregon. And you are the upper class now. You're the elite. It's COLA adjusted every couple of years, and you can build a second home by the lake. the taxpayer is the guy who's getting ground to inconsequence, because the taxpayer has to not only pay your bill, pay for the doctor's visit, pay for healthcare, the loss of livelihood, the loss of the individual life, the loss of brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and, you know, grandparents. All of this is going unaccounted for, but the people who are just, quote, doing their job are all getting their paychecks too. And so it's really, really a bad system that we have. The grand jury, in my estimation, is the best opportunity we have to hold the watchers accountable. The question you hear is, who's watching the watchers? Right. These people are supposed to be paying attention. They're supposed to be watching what's going on, and they've not been. And they've not been because they don't want to lose their benefits. They don't want to lose their salary. They don't want to go against the powers that be.
No, absolutely not. So the breadth and depth of those who could potentially be held accountable is astounding. You know, we had millions of people die. We had millions of more whose businesses and lives were affected. We had churches shut down. We had no end of interference within personal rights and freedom. Do you see this going beyond just those five that were at the head of this? And what should happen to all of these underlings who, like the Nazi guards, will say, well, I was just following orders? Shouldn't they be held accountable as well?
Yes. I saw you guys could maybe look for it. I saw a report coming out of North Carolina that actually said that there was that nurses were liable for patient harm, even though it was carried out under physician orders. And it was a North Carolina result coming out of the court system. It happened on August 19th. It struck down a precedent set that said culpability for obeying and executing orders could be negligent. So now all of a sudden we see all of these people who have been saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I'll do that, now are responsible. You did that even though you knew it right. was likely to cause harm?
Right. Yeah, I think that's an important point. Okay, we are up against clock. Everyone stay with us. We'll continue our discussion with Dennis Lithcomb as they try to push a grand jury investigation forward to hold these people accountable for the data manipulation within COVID. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking today with Senator Dennis Lithcomb. He's from Southern Oregon in the Klamath region. And he, along with Senator Kim Thatcher and Dr. Henry Ely, are trying to impanel a grand jury to look into the COVID data fraud that should be obvious to anyone at this point. So, but it's, you know, as part of this, as you guys are trying to get this grand jury move forward to hold people accountable, one of the things that I think the whole of government needs to be truly held accountable for is that they were denying access to early treatment. Simple things like vitamin D and vitamin C and all these other things. They kept saying, oh, that wasn't going to work. That wasn't going to work. Another one was hydroxychloroquine. They said that was poisonous. If you take that, you could end up dead. And of course, that was a huge lie. And now just recently, ivermectin was approved now very quietly as a potential COVID treatment. So, and that to me was always one of the most mind-boggling of things is, if you're trying to prevent serious illness or an illness from getting serious, you always want to treat it early. I mean, you don't do that with cancer saying, well, you've got cancer, but let's just wait and see how that turns out. No, you treat it early. And it was the same thing with COVID. In fact, that was one of the things that we have interviewed multiple doctors about, is that this is the most treatable virus ever if you treat it early. If you let it go, then it's going to get worse. And so I certainly hope that the CDC and the NIH and all of these other agencies that were saying, oh, don't treat it early, let's just wait and see, I certainly hope that they are all held accountable as well.
Yeah, I agree. And this is what happens, you know, I can't help but say this is what happens under socialist healthcare.
Yes.
Everybody likes to talk about it like it's this godsend. It'll save the planet, free healthcare for everybody. But what happens is you, because even within any marketplace where there's a top-down monopoly, you get people who follow the rules. And they follow the rules because their boss told them to, or because there's a paycheck at the end of the week. In an independent free market economy, you could go to person Dr. A or Dr. B or Dr. Z, and there's literally, there's competition, there's innovation, there's different people trying different solutions, and it's only when you get this top-down hierarchy, and people think that somehow it will be better, but we see, obviously, this is a gigantic failure. If there's ever been a failure, this is the failure. We see increase in fatalities. We see public policy where they changed how you fill out a death certificate. They changed using PCR tests, which has never been valid. The Kerry Mullins, who invented it, said it's not valid as a diagnostic tool. And yet the FDA and the CDC and the Fauci and Dr. Birx, and Birx says, when I would produce a... In her book that just came out, she says, I would produce a daily news update for the media, and I would have bullets, and the Trump team would edit those bullets, and they would take it back like they're supposed to remove those points. They didn't remove them. They just moved them further down and made them less obvious and added a few other mediocre words to kind of disguise how they were lying to the public. These people need to be held accountable. They've had a double standard, and they've been dangerous in all of their actions. And we see it in the death counts. We see that somehow we solved the flu. Isn't that interesting? The flu, seasonal flu, no longer exists.
Yeah.
Well, that was convenient. Seasonal flu no longer even exists. And yet COVID mania is, has overtaken the land.
Yeah. And it was astounding that so many in the media just completely bought that. I mean, it was at that point, it was pretty clear that they were no longer involved in any sense of critical thinking, but merely about pushing propaganda. If you think that the flu has disappeared and yet somehow COVID has magically inflated to these hundreds of thousands of numbers, that was just bizarre and quite frankly stupid and dangerous. One of the things I really wanted to talk to you about was that while you guys are trying to push your grand jury up the hill to expose this fraud, there was a horrific article, I think, from Steve Kirsch, and it was so disturbing, I actually had to stop reading it at points because it was infuriating, because what it had to deal with was a leaked Zoom call with the Israeli Ministry of Health officials. And in this call, they were talking about the dangers of the vaccine, that it is clearly causing problems. And then this was the really big thing, was after they're discussing this, and they have basically said, well, we need to keep this all quiet. Later on, the Israeli Ministry of Health not only withheld the findings for 2 months from their own expert committees, and that committee then decided 3 weeks later to clear the vaccines for infants. So they know this is a highly dangerous vaccine, and yet now they're pushing this on kids. This is why people need to be held accountable. They are literally causing people to die as a result of their actions.
Yeah, this kind of pushes us into a realm. This runs much deeper than just science. Yes. And data and facts. This is a moral problem that we face as a culture, that people are willing to deceive the public and go along for whatever reason. Interesting side note, in the United Kingdom, Great Britain, they have forbidden 11-year-olds and under from getting the vaccine.
Yes.
So there's two different, you know, now on the world stage, we've got one nation that's doing it one way and another nation that's doing it the other way. And I think this is all the way back to medical freedom. This is back to, look, at it's got to be the right diagnostics for an individual who shows the symptoms. This is not this asymptomatic nonsense got spread like wildfire and got people scared to death, and none of it was true. It turns out we know this. None of it was true. So the right diagnostic, the right symptoms, the right implications, and you and your listeners know there's no difference between the symptoms of the common flu or cold and COVID. They are all the same. You headache, upset tummy, you know, sore throat, you know, runny nose. Those things are identical. And so you can't really tell what it is or what it isn't, but they rush to this one solution under emergency use authorization for the vaccines. There can't be an alternative, inexpensive substitute. And that's why the HCQ and ivermectin and vitamin D and just, you know, exercising outdoors, well, those were all forbidden because that would mean you would get healthy.
Yeah, it was just crazy how they have so severely inflated those numbers. And just one example of how they inflated those numbers, a doctor was allowed to diagnose you as having COVID if you coughed once in his presence. That's how bizarre and insane this was. If you'd like to weigh in on this, you can go to beyondthecon.com. We'll link that up on ispyradio.com as well. You can also text CDC data, so two words, CDC data to 52886, 52886. And of course, we'll put that up on ispyradio.com as well. Dennis, thank you so much for your work. This is super important.
Thank you. It's great to talk with you this morning, and I look forward to hearing it.
And thank you for staying with us here in the iSpy Radio Show. We just wrapped up talking with Senator Dennis Lithcomb about their effort to impanel a grand jury to investigate the data fraud used by the CDC and other government agencies to seize control during the pandemic. Trillions of dollars misspent, millions of lives upended, and millions more died unnecessarily because those in power sought to expand their power and push a vaccine on people. So we are watching this grand jury very closely. But to get an even deeper understanding of what's unfolding, we thought it would be a good idea to have on an expert on the grand jury process. And to do that, I'd like to welcome Kelly Mordecai. He is author of the book, The Hidden Fourth Branch, A Corrupt Government's Worst Nightmare. Kelly, thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome to the show.
Well, hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, so you wrote that book, The Hidden Fourth Branch, which explains grand juries back in 2009. So what was going on then that inspired you to write it? And back then, did you ever imagine a time now when we'd have such a corrupt government as we have now? I mean, which feels like it needs hundreds of grand juries all pecking at the corruption.
Well, I saw, you know, the Obama administration and other problems. I'm like, this just can't be right. There's got to be other ways to correct corruption and something. I was reaching out, state level, county level, whatever. Is there any type of solution? And I found it in a grand jury.
Hmm. So talk to us about grand juries themselves. What is the process for getting those impaneled? I mean, can pretty much anybody just bring a request to have a grand jury impaneled?
Anybody can request it. For example, I'm in California. PC 904 has penal code. PC 904 says the grand jury shall, the judge shall convene a grand jury when in the best interest of the public. And that's in federal statutes as well, federal rules of criminal procedure. So you can request of a judge, and then a judge can go ahead and impanel. But typically, there already exist grand juries at the federal level. And if there's 4 million people, it is a statutory requirement that they impanel a special federal grand jury that has jurisdiction nationwide.
So in terms of the grand juries, are they, I guess, what is the purpose of bringing those? Is it to pursue something that isn't being pursued by other means, or how would you describe that?
Well, there's historically the shield function and then there's the sword function. The sword is where you go after government corruption, but the shield function, it's in the Fifth Amendment of the United States. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. The founders, and this was existing for centuries before, knew that the grand jury was a protection in the shield function against overzealous prosecutors. So out of 23, 12 citizens had to agree on an indictment. And then you would be convicted in a petit jury or trial jury with unanimous 12. And that protected the liberties of the people as well as the political reformers. Because in the past, if the king didn't like what you said, it's off with your head. So William Penn was one of the political reformers that was protected in the famous Bushell case of 1670. And the jury said, no, we're not going to give him the death sentence. We're going to say not guilty. He can say what he wants. So the founders saw it as very important to protect a shield from an overzealous prosecutor or against a king that didn't like what people were saying. So that's the shield function. But the sword function is when a grand jury can investigate willful misconduct in office by public officers.
Hmm. Well, who makes up a grand jury and how are they selected?
Grand jury is composed of everyday people. If you ever got a jury summons for the Pettit jury or 12, you can get a jury summons also to be on a grand jury. So obviously the jury commissioner sends out, I actually got one this spring for a federal grand jury in Sacramento. That's the Eastern Federal District of California. It was a questionnaire. It wasn't a summons, just a questionnaire. So the jury commissioner sends out a pool of people, starts reviewing things, and then if I get a summons, it doesn't mean I get on the grand jury first. The judge interviews grand jury members, potential grand jury members, because by law and case history, it's the judge that will interview the grand jury members, ferret out anybody who has an axe to grind, and then he says, all right, you're going to be on the grand jury. He selects the requisite number based on jurisdiction, county, state, or federal. And then he gives them an oath of office to defend the Constitution, et cetera. And then once they're sworn in, boom, there you go. Get to your business. And he'll actually give a charge to the grand jury, which I have charges from the 1700s, which will be very interesting. Of what the thinking was when our nation was established. But they select from the people, judge interviews, they get oath of office, a charge, and then they get busy.
And so how does the grand jury differ from a typical trial?
We're talking apples and oranges. We're talking basketball versus football. A Pettit jury, you can watch that proceeding, go to the courthouse and watch a jury just sitting there listening to the facts. A trial jury only hears the facts. They can also judge the law. But the trial jury cannot investigate. The judges explicitly tell Pettit jurors, you cannot investigate. Sometimes they have to sequester so that the media over high-profile case, the jury isn't tainted at all. That's the Pettit jury finding guilt. Okay, then comes sentencing, somebody goes to jail. The grand jury has the power to investigate from their own knowledge, from what a prosecutor may hand down to them, or if a petition for redress of grievance is sent to the grand jury, they can investigate that way. And so they can get out of the, they can get right out of the grand jury room. They can form a committee. I mean, I've been before a grand jury at my request. It was a committee of two grand jury members, and we discussed a number of things. Here in Siskiyou County, but they have the power to just get up and go and investigate. One of the most famous cases of investigation was the Boston Massacre. On March 5th, 1770, nine British soldiers shot and killed five colonials. And within 8 days, the grand jury handed down the first indictment. So that would be March 13th, and then by the end of March, they'd handed down a number of indictments of the British soldiers.
Right.
Yeah. So the grand jury was out in the street. They were talking to people, other people. They were investigating of their own.
Right. Okay. We are up against the clock. Let me jump in there. We'll have more about grand juries and this grand jury that Senator Dennis Lithicum is seeking to form. We'll be doing that with Kelly Mordecai, who wrote the book on grand juries. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today about the effort by Senators Dennis Lithicum and Thatcher and Dr. Henry Ely on their uphill battle to form a grand jury to investigate the now obvious to everyone data fraud committed by the CDC. And we're talking to Kelly Mordecai, an expert on grand juries. You can learn about how grand juries can hold government accountable in his book, The Hidden Fourth Branch, A Corrupt Government's Worst Nightmare. And we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. And just a little bit left over on that last segment. So just to kind of nutshell, grand juries, grand juries investigates to find probable cause versus a typical jury, which is finding guilt or innocent. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probable cause in the form of a grand jury presentment or a grand jury indictment sending someone to trial.
Okay. So let's talk about the Linthicum grand jury effort. It's just some interesting developments in here. They say that their goal is to prove criminal data fraud so that Fossey and friends are thoroughly investigated and held to account for their alleged crimes. Their goal is to prove willful misconduct so families injured by the gene-modifying shots have a pathway to breach the legal protections. I'm all for all of that. But there has been some really weird developments in this effort to impanel a grand jury. And one of the weirder ones, I think, is the U.S. attorney in this case in June of this year, 2022, Scott Asfaug, the U.S. attorney who the senators had contacted back on August 21st of last year, switched sides and said that he would act as attorney for the named defendants rather than seeking their indictment by a grand jury. He filed a motion for extension of time to August 26th, stating at which time his office would file a motion to dismiss. That alone is kind of odd that a U.S. attorney switches side from prosecution to defendants. Is that odd or is that typical?
I've never heard of this before. And maybe we could get a conversation with Scott Asfaw. Well, wait a minute. Sorry. He's in Nairobi, Kenya right now.
Right.
So he went, he was the United States attorney in Medford, Oregon, where the first petition was submitted. There was some correspondence. Monty Wilkinson got involved. He's a higher up in the Justice Department. He might even be the director. And then nothing. We don't, you know, we're trying to get the petition. 18 U.S.C. 3332 requires a prosecutor to inform the grand jury that a petition was received. And we've never had any witnesses called. So, yeah. And then so we figured we're not getting anywhere. So let's file suit, ask to get in front of a grand jury, that our petition be submitted to the grand jury, and or if we can impanel a grand jury to investigate all the named defendants, which former CDC, Robert Redfield, now CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, Alex Azar, a number of these names, Xavier Becerra, all these different alphabet soup agencies, we serve them, and the fundamental question they get to respond to in front of the judge is this: why should a grand jury not investigate you? So they needed a representative, and Scott Asfaw temporarily was the attorney for them when he should have been working with a grand jury to investigate them, and then he got shipped over to Nairobi.
Yeah, and
Miss Brown is
That's the other that was the other weird thing that I was going to talk about was that 3 weeks after he essentially announced that he was going to work for the defense rather than the prosecution, on July 13th he is reassigned by DOJ from Oregon to Nairobi, Kenya, effective July 17th. So 4 days and you're out of here, halfway around the world. That is really weird. I mean, I've never heard of such a thing.
Me neither. Maybe he knew something that the Justice Department did not want to come out in a court of law. It's really hard to subpoena somebody in Nairobi, Kenya. I mean, on occasion, there's been grand jury indictments when maybe the Attorney General doesn't even know it's happening. You know, you talk about the weaponizing of the Justice Department. You go after your political enemies and you protect your political allies. But this spring, there was the indictment of the lieutenant governor of New York by a federal grand jury. Obviously, he was a Democrat, Brian Benjamin. Now, did the Merrick Garland, the acting attorney general of the United States, did Merrick Garland know that Mr. Brian Benjamin, a Democrat lieutenant governor, was under investigation? Don't know, but I remember 2013, State House Senator Leland Yee of California, he was indicted for illegal arms trafficking. Well, a California senator, Democrat.
Well, it just
so
seems
sometimes the prosecutors don't. Maybe it's possible some prosecutors do not tell the top attorney general, but maybe if they're in communication, they're shipped to Kenya.
Yeah, that's just really weird. I don't know if that was punishment or a reward, maybe to get him out of there before something worse happens. Let's actually take a break a little bit early here because this next question is going to take a bit. Everyone stay with us. We're going to have more with Kelly Mordecai, an expert on grand juries, talking about the grand jury trying to be formed here in Oregon to hold Fauci and others accountable. Stay with us. And welcome back on our final segment now on the iSpy Radio Show. We've been talking with Kelly Mordecai, an expert on grand juries. You can learn about grand juries and how they can hold government accountable in his book, The Hidden Fourth Branch, A Corrupt Government's Worst Nightmare. And boy, we need that now more than ever. And so, Kelly, in the time that we have left, this grand jury that Dennis and others are trying to bring forward, it's happening at a time and during and in an environment when the government has already begun to admit some wrongdoing. The CDC announced a few weeks back that they effectively got everything wrong during the COVID. They are now also admitting that, yes, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin could have been and should be used to combat COVID. Masks didn't work. Social distancing didn't work. It seems like every day some new horror story breaks out about the vaccines or vaccine injuries. And so I would think that given that environment, that conditions for this grand jury should be very favorable. And yet so far, the government has shown no interest and tried the old no standing bit. So what do you think? Should things right now be favorable for moving forward?
I wish I knew the mind of the federal judge. I don't. But if we are successful in overcoming their no standing issue, dismiss this case, we're going to get more evidence in. We are going to hopefully prevail, get in front of the grand jury. If the grand jury knows its full power, this is hope, pray, cross your fingers, whatever. We will see a bunch of named people getting indicted by a federal grand jury, going to jail, being held to account. So that there is hope here. We have to see if the judge just dismisses the case. Really, the Justice Department filing a motion to dismiss is violating our right to petition a grand jury and, secondly, obstructing justice. This is very serious.
Absolutely.
And so, well, I don't know what the judge is going to do, and I'm not an attorney, I'm not going to guess, but if we allow this to happen, what is next? Because if we cannot get to a grand jury, and a grand jury doesn't know its full power or duties to inquire into such things, the federal government can do whatever it wants. You know, in the Fifth Amendment, there's without an indictment, there is no accountability. So we look at something the Supreme Court wrote in 1887. It says a declaration of Article 5 of the amendments to the Constitution that, quote, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury is jurisdictional. And no court of the United States has authority to try a prisoner without indictment or presentment in such cases. 1973. Justice William Douglas wrote in U.S. versus Mara, by the way, that first case was Ex parte Bain of 1887. More recent, U.S. versus Mara, 1973, William Douglas wrote, for no matter how obnoxious a person may be, the United States cannot prosecute for a felony without a grand jury indictment. The grand jury is the only accusatorial body of the federal government recognized by the Constitution. No indictment, no accountability. What will they get by with next?
Yeah, yeah. And I think you said it so right, is that without a grand jury indictment, without some sort of justice being served here, there's no accountability. And if they get away with this, I mean, this is literally the biggest crime in human history, where they have, whether or not you want to take it for granted that this COVID was created in a lab and purposefully unleashed, setting that aside, the response to that is the crime, where they use this as an excuse to seize power, unlimited power to themselves. They shut down businesses. They shut down churches, for heaven's sakes. They shut down, they could even tell you what to wear on your face or whether or not you could be allowed into certain stores. It just went on and on. And then on top of that, they withheld treatment from people early on that would have saved millions of lives. And for nobody to be held accountable on this, this is beyond abhorrent. We are just a few hairs away from a complete chaos in a country that is ruled by absolute despots and tyranny.
Yeah. The founding generation made sure the grand jury was still in place, moving forward. And in my book, I have multiple examples of corrupt government officials who committed willful misconduct in office The grand jury held them to account. We're the only nation that has this. And we just need to petition. We need to get the grand juries busy, drain the swamp, and get it done and hold these people to account lest they do something worse next time.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So we only got about a minute and a half here with you. The team that is putting together this grand jury effort here, they believe that right now there's an attempt for the government to claim gross incompetence as a defense against criminal fraud and willful misconduct. Rochelle Walensky reports that the CDC has completed an internal investigation that will be dramatically restructuring all aspects of its operations based on the reported recommendations. And that's what I said, is that about a month or so ago, they've admitted that they got everything wrong. So they've literally killed millions of people, and they're just going to claim incompetence. That's astounding.
We should stop paying them their salaries. Well, I mean, as an engineer, if I did this kind of stuff, I'd be in court. I'd lose my engineer registration. These people need to be held to account.
Yeah.
They absolutely need to be held. Oh, we're sorry. Do you expect the American people to forgive?
Yeah.
Oh, we're sorry. My grandpa died 10 years earlier than he should have. A 50-year-old died, healthy as can be, got the shot, and he died. Oh, gee, we're sorry about that. No, that's not acceptable to the American people.
It absolutely is not. People need to go to jail for this. They need to not just lose their job. They need to lose their pensions, and they need to spend an awful lot of time in a cold, dark cell. All right, unfortunately, we are up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time. Kelly Mordecai, his book is The Hidden Fourth Branch, A Corrupt Government's Worst Nightmare. Kelly, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Glad to be here.
Every day, we learn more about the government's lies when it comes to COVID and the horrors of this vaccine, which from the evidence and data does not protect you, does not prevent infection, and does not prevent spread. Just ask quadruple vaccinated Mr. Biden. Any protection is minimal and wanes quickly, and for many, that minuscule protection was not worth the adverse effects we are seeing now. Otherwise, healthy people suddenly dropping dead, including athletes in the prime of their lives. There are reports of funeral directors pulling huge, weird things, clots, out of vaccinated bodies while trying to embalm them. You've got things like Dr. Naomi Wolf and her team of volunteers combing through data the drug companies wanted to withhold for 30 years but were forced to release. Buried in the data, she found that nearly half of the pregnancies miscarried after a vaccine. But somehow that didn't get any attention by the FDA when they approved it. You can find all of that and more on today's show page at iSpyRadio.com. Look for show 12-37, iSpyRadio.com, show 1237. Once there, you'll also find links to the following. The courts where Senators Linthicum and Thatcher and Dr. Ely filed needs to hear from you. You can sign the petition to get this into the courts. Head to beyondthecon.com, that's beyondthecon.com, or text CDC data, that's two words, CDC data, to 52886, 52886. Do that. Don't be silent. Not when you can take action. Because as we say every week, the best information is no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.